may be seated. Fantastic. Today I want to talk about the Father's house. And I want you to understand something. We don't build God a house. He invites us into His house. You're allowed to get excited today, because now watch this. The Father says in John 14, verse 2, Jesus made it like this. He says, "In my Father's house are many rooms." The Aramaic says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." Now I want you to notice this. What it's trying to say, heaven is not where there is a palace surrounded by houses. You okay? You with me? You good? See, sometimes when we think about mansions and we go, "Oh, okay, so there is the throne room and I am going to be somewhere outside of rooms." There's been so much rubbish that have been taught about houses in the kingdom. There was a whole lot of stuff when I was growing up, and it was one of these, and I used it and I repent from it, okay? It was, there's two people comes into heaven, right? And there's this hotshot evangelist, right? Me. And there's somebody else that walks in the room, this little old lady. And so Peter meets him at the front gate and he says, hey, Sister Smith, how's it going? And he goes, good. And he goes, hey, I've got this mansion for you. And so there's the throne room. Hey, you got view of the throne. How cool are you? Right, and there's your mansion. And you go, wow. And so she goes, look, there's these angels. They're going to take your bags. And, you know, angels are spiritual porters. So they take him there. And the hotshot evangelist goes, wow, if she's got that mansion, what am I going to get? And so he comes in and Peter gives him this bag. And he says, what's the bag? It's a tent. And he goes, well, you didn't send enough money up there so we couldn't build you a mansion. All we could do is build you a tent. It was really good to get people to give, but never did anything. So the Bible says, in my Father's house, there are homes. So there isn't a place where the kingdom of God is. Well, there's the throne, and then you walk in. The Bible says, in my Father's house, there are many. And I go to prepare a place for you. I used to think, why is God saying, I go to prepare a place for you? Do you know why? Because this is the new Adam. God says, the new creation I create needs a new house in heaven. Because it's so spectacular. So God says, because I'm making you new, I'm making you a new house in heaven as well. Now, so we're now going to talk about the Father's house. Now remember, it's the Father's house. So what happens in the Father's house, you will understand the kingdom, is the Father goes, in my house, I create a system. I create the values. I create your destiny. I create. So the first thing we understand about the Father's house is that He creates. Now understand this, is the children do not give definition to the Father. It is the Father that gives definition to the children. So we don't name the Father names us. So we don't start in, what are we going to call Dad? What are we going to do this? God says, because it starts with me. Now understand the picture when Jesus says, the Father's house. Do you know what they understood then? Every Jew understood the Father's house. What does that mean? Just think about this. You never have children before you have a house. So what would happen is this. Now watch, if Sul and I were Jewish, because we were not, we did it the other way around. But what would happen, I would go to my dad, and I go, Dad, there's this hot woman called Sul, and I bags her. And he goes, great, that's cool. So what are we going to do now? Well, I have to build another room on top of the house. So what would happen is the father would bring in the finance and he would build my house over his house. Then there would be a procession. We would then, a whole family, everybody would come around. We would go to Silva's house and then the spiritual porters would get her stuff and they would move her to my house. But it's my house, but I've never left the father. So God says this, I never call you without preparing for you. So God says, so Suve has this mentality, is that everything I need to be a successful woman, to be a successful influential person is in their house. I don't have to bring influence into the house will bring influence to me. So many times we go, we're building the Father's house. No, we're not. God is giving us the material to do that. So in the Father's house, He is the ruler, and I come into Him, and He names me. He gives me an assignment. He provides me with what I need to make the assignment. So therefore, what He's saying here, when you hear the word Father, it's the source of everything. So everything you need to fulfill your assignment is in the house. Now have a look at this verse. Genesis 4 verse 6 says this, and because you are sons, stop right there, not becoming sons. You see, the mentality is that it's this graduation thing. One day I will be, one day I will be, one day. The moment my seed went into Suve and there was a connection, that was mine. It wasn't mine after 9 months. It was mine. If you don't understand that, talk to your parents. But see, the Bible says, because you are sons, not becoming sons, not a different level of son, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And I want you to do this. The same Spirit that was in Jesus is now in you. Not a baby spirit. Do you realize there isn't a baby Holy Spirit? So when our children in the next room, the Holy Spirit is working on them, and there's not a baby Holy Spirit. So, oh, hey, the Holy Spirit comes along. Hey, what are you? I'm going to Faith Life Church. Oh, okay, I'm the main spirit. I'm the all the spirit. I'm going to be in the main meeting. You're a Bambina spirit. You got minister Bambina things. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in our kids. See, the first thing we understand about fatherhood, it goes, it's the same Spirit. Same quantity, same influence, has set forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying. Now watch this. He says it's crying. It's not weeping, oh no, you sent me into Ted Fabiani. Couldn't you pick somebody else more handsome, taller? No, because Ted's the most handsome, tallest person in the universe. So what God says, what's He crying out? He's crying out to the source where everything flows from. He's crying out, Abba, Father. Father. Now, notice this. When Jesus came in, He didn't say, hey, world, you're missing me. And the Holy Spirit. It's a dove thing. Okay. What He says, I have come to introduce the Father to you, or reintroduce Him to you. It is the gospel of the Father. It is the message of the Father. So Jesus comes in and He starts to move. Now watch this, because you are really clever, correct? You never start your assignment without the Father's blessing. What did Jesus do? He comes into John the Baptist, and John the Immerser, and He says, I need to be baptized by you. He says, no, we have to fulfill the word. And He comes out, and then the Father speaks. Notice this, you cannot introduce the Father before the Father introduces you. Let me say that again. Religion says we can talk about the Father. The Father says, you can't talk about me unless I've introduced you. Because it's called relationship. So you know what He says? Watch this. Now listen to this. The Father's foundation for you is this. This is my beloved Son. This is the Father talking. In whom I am well pleased. Think about this. Now, Jesus hasn't even preached the Sermon on the Mount. He hasn't got coin out of a fish. He hasn't done anything. So what the Father is saying is this: outside of my house, you have to work for approval. Inside of my house, I approve you so that you can work. Listen to me carefully. If you are seeking approval of the person next to you, beside you, wherever you are, you haven't noticed or you haven't accepted the first step into you being born into the Father's house. So he goes to Jesus. And why was it written down? If it was only for Jesus, had nothing to do with you, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have written it down. So he says, the way you start your ministry is because I announce you. Now, I want you to notice how powerful this is. When Peter sinned, who restored him? When Peter goes, I don't know him, it wasn't a collective. How do we restore Peter? Jesus comes back on the scene, get the disciples, and you know what he was doing? He was restoring Peter. He was restoring. You know what it tells me? In the Father's house, you don't need to fight for your promotion. You don't need to fight for your character. God says, I'll represent you. You know what it also tells me? If you do fall, God will pick you up and he will put you back into position. You don't have to put yourself in back of position. This is good, isn't it? Help me here. Now, can we just starting, right? Now, watch. Listen to this in the Message Bible. God sent the Spirit of His Son into our lives, crying out, Papa, Father. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you're a child, you're also an heir with a complete access to the inheritance. You know what's really, and it's not a slave. Now, understand something. What's the difference between a slave and a son? It's not the work that they do. Sons work. But what's the difference? It's still work. You know, here's the difference. A slave goes, I deserve to get paid. I get paid a wage. A son goes, I'm working for my stuff. Think about this. If I hire somebody and they're working in my vineyard and my sons are also working in the vineyard, they are there together. They are working together. It's the same hot sun. It's the same stuff. Except the only difference is at the end of the day, one checks out, one goes back into the source. And here's the difference. When the slave gets paid, that's the end of that. But a son goes, that grapevine that I just pruned will keep on giving to me and giving to me. I will get the benefit, full benefit of what that vine can produce, not just what I get paid. Think about this. If you're going to look at it this way, just say the vine can produce 10 liters of wine. If you're working for an hourly rate, you'll probably get half a liter. The son gets 10 liters. Plus, he knows there's another season that this vine will keep producing because sons stay at home because they own the vine. Now, it also works with this. It was our Pastor Obed, if you can get back onto, I think he was, still should be on the podcast, that he made this. In the kingdom, sons live by inheritance, not by work. So listen to this. And if you're a child, you are also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. What's the inheritance? Everything that is in heaven is yours. You can tell if it's yours. One of the things I love about hotel rooms is their magic. They're simply magic. You know why? It's magic because you can drop a towel and you walk out and you walk back in and it's folded and pressed. Look, it's amazing. You can drop things and leave things in the shower and then you walk out, have breakfast and you walk in and it's all done. But if it's your own house, You don't drop stuff. If you do, you're going to get smacked by your wife or your husband. But see, what happens is there's this ownership. So God says here, he says in Galatians, right? He says the same Spirit that is in me is now in you. Listen to me carefully. It is the same Spirit that when comes on you, when you believe it, you become a son. You don't become a slave. See, an orphan goes, I don't know my father, I am the source. See, an orphan spirit says this, if I don't look after me, then it will not happen. A son goes, my father looks after me, so therefore I can relax, I can run, I can dream, I can relate, I have influence. Now watch this. The son has the same influence as the father. Not a different influence. The Bible doesn't say this. To you, I give a little influence to this. Is when we understand this. Now, the word there, we need to fly. Everybody say, Ted needs to fly. Okay. The word Abba is the Greek form from the Aramaic. In Aramaic, there isn't such a thing as Abba. There's A-B. Now, watch this. So, the word Abba was never found in the Greek culture. It was only found in the Jewish culture. So what they did is they added it and made it Abba Father. Now, when you talk to in Aramaic, which the Bible was written, which we get this, the first letter is Alpha. It's A-B. Now, watch this. It means this. So understand something here. When in the Jewish context, which is our heritage, it is numerical, it is pictorial, it's phonetic. So the first thing we do, the first letter of Father means an ox. Ox represents strength. They used to sometimes take an ox and put it within the sheep because the ox would fight anything off. It was like a watchdog. So the Bible says the first thing we want you to know is because you're in the Father, is God says you're coming into strength, not weakness. And it says God is a Father. And also when you look deeply into that word, it means a strong leader. So God says when you come into my house, I am strength and I will lead you in strength. So that means this, you don't have to look after your own future. God says, I will look after it. Think about strength here for an instance. The Bible says that Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So the Father goes, whatever I create, I protect. So what we have, the first part of the word Abba is the strength that God says, I need you to believe that the source is strength. And it's also the first letter of God. So what we have is that when I'm going to my Father, I walk in and I go, this is the supreme strength. Everything is under your feet. You are amazing. There's no one stronger than you. You good? See, watch this. Now, the reason we go for this is this. It's because when you understand who he is, you put your expectations on who he is, not who you are. That's why the Bible says, let the weak say I am. Let the weak say I'm like my father. Why? Because you haven't realized yet who your father is. So we have that. Now, watch this. It gets even better. The second word is biet. It means house, tent. It also has the connotation of a son, a family, and is also part of a son of God. So watch this. So God says, a part of my fatherhood, I am strength, number one. Number two, I create a place for you to dwell in. God says, I don't give birth and then put you outside and go make your way. God says, I put you in the house. And because I have already prepared a house or a tent for you. As we were talking about, is when a Jewish young boy gets married, he takes his bride and he takes her to his father's house. Father's provision. So the Bible says in his house, there is provision. In his house, there is drink. In his house, there is meat. In his house, there is protection. So what we have here, it says, what does my name mean? When I talk about Father, I go, hey, the strongest of all. You are my strength. You are my source. You will fight for me. You will do my battle. Second is, God says, you don't live outside and visit inside. The problem with religion, it lets us go into the house. Sil and I were watching this thing about the Brits. Any Brits here today? Okay, one. I apologize straight away, but it's really funny. But what it was interesting was that the mannerism of the Brits, and they were just kind of, and they're all with comedians, and so they would do this. He goes, so what do you do when dinner is finished? And he goes, oh yeah, well, I know, the guy goes, yeah, well, I normally go to sleep at 11, so by 10:45, I just get up, switch all the lights off, and say, you can let yourselves out. And, you know, they had all the funny thing is, and he goes, hey, on your way out, here's the milk bottles, please put them out. So they had this time period of, hey, you're enjoying my company, you're doing all of this. Nice to see you, now go away. See, in the Father's house, God says, you eat here, you sleep here, you get your finances from here, you get your name from here. Isn't that amazing? Listen to me carefully. You even get the name of Jesus. When you are baptized, how are you baptized? We baptize you into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, even into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Father's name. You don't get your own name. Get rid of your name. It could be like beautiful like mine, Edward. There's a ring to it, King Edward. But God says, no one's impressed with me. I can't go to a sick person and say, hey, psst, Edward is here. Push off. Isn't it real? I just want you to know, interesting. The first attack in the new church was when they healed the man at Gate Beautiful. He says, you can keep singing. You can keep having all of your stuff, but do not use the name. The reason being this, Rome figured it out, the Jews figured it out. We can squash everything else except the name. What are we scared of? Because in that name, everything that Jesus started to do is still moving. Now watch this. So what we do is when we start talking about the Father, God says, I need you to do a shift. I want you to move out of your rented little one-room bedroom apartment. I want you to move into a mansion. That means your thinking changes. Your source changes. The reason being is this. Because the assignment that you have is a kingdom assignment, and it needs kingdom resources to fulfill the kingdom assignment. The problem we have, religion says, what have you got in your own home? Religion says, what is your education? What are you doing? But I go, I am in the Father's house. So the Father goes, I want you to go buy a castle. And he's not saying to Ted how much money you've got. Well, go find out the price. Come back to me. I'll sign the check. Okay. Promise he's going to get better. Now, I want you to watch this. Okay. That's it. Now, watch this. Vision doesn't produce love. Love produces vision. Now, I want you to notice this, because you're really clever. The first word, so what we have here is the name of the Father. You add two letters, the word hey, and you get love. So what you do, you cannot... So in the Father's name, you're the Father. In you is this unmerited, undeserved favor called I love you. See, the word love cannot be dissociated from the word Father. So what you have in where we're going is this. So what you have, look, let me just read it to you here. The strong leader, or God the Father, The word there, hey, is the unlifting up on the eyes, which is revelation, that comes out of the house of the Son and hands of heaven to behold the Son. So what we have here is we've got the full gravity of the salvation message. So God says this, strength. Are we going to talk about a little bit about the word hey? One of the words for hey is divine revelation, where you go and see. So God says into us, I have come and I've brought you out, I've put you into the house, and I have made provision for you. See, the word love is not a feeling, it's an actual transparency. It's the actual fact of God has a house for me. God has a plan for me. This is not just to make me happy, but God says, I can't. When you talk about the love of God, it is not a feeling, it's an experience that leads to more experience and more experience. You good? See, when we start looking at this, we get this picture of the word love is first used in Genesis. It is when God came up to, says, I love. So God says, I want to love. And when God talks about love, he says, I am going to provide for you at my expense. Okay? See, the word love doesn't ask you to afford it. The word love says, I love you, so I will pay for whatever it needs to be. So when we start talking about this amazing part, and God says, you can't see Jesus without seeing me, for God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave. Now, because you're really clever, Romans 8:32 says this. I struggle with this verse. I struggle with it because it's the magnitude of it, and it was this. It's not up there, but it says this. If God did not withhold his Son, but freely gave him to you, what will he withhold from you? I want you to just think about the Father's love. God says this, right? I start with the greatest gift and I work my way down. I don't start with a small gift and work my way up. When Silva and I decided to give our kids a car, I knew what was going to happen. I knew they were going to ding, dong, smash. So we go, well, what we'll do is we'll start with a good car and then work on the way up. But God says, I do it the opposite way. I give you my Son. You know why? God says, right then and there, I give you my measuring rod. See, some of us are still struggling with a measuring rod. We look at a house, we look at a job, we look at that, and we go, wow, that's really hard. But God says, if you're saved, I've already given you the greatest gift. So what makes you think I'm not going to give you the lesser? You good? See, the word hey, when you start looking at it, it has connotations. When you unpack it, it has to do with the divine name of God. So God says this, I give you because I am a father. You don't name me, I name you. And he says the same love that I put upon Jesus, I also put upon you. So it gives us a name. It has to do with divine presence. It has to do with transformation. It has to do with provision. So God says, because you're in me, I love you as a father loves you, and I am your strength. I am your house. I am everything you need. See, in the kingdom of God, you come into the house, but you never leave. And in God's house, look at this. Psalm 105 says this, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever and his faithfulness continues to each generation. You know what he's saying right here? Is that the same love that the Father bestowed on Jesus is the same love that he bestows upon you. There are no favorites in the house of God. See, what does an orphan do? He has to fight for position. What does an orphan do? I remember hearing a story about, it was in Romania, it was about a church minister that got all these orphans into his house. And he said the first thing that he noticed, the moment he put the food out on the table, they were stuffing their pockets. And so at the end of the day, he says, look, I didn't invite you off the streets. I invited you to live with me. And this was the mentality, one of them said. But see, the thing is, we're orphans. We don't know where our next meal is coming. So what they were doing is they were eating and stuffing their pockets because tomorrow they might get kicked out. You good? See, an orphan spirit, which we're going after today, is this. Father, I want you to look after me. See, the thing, when I had Christine, which I never knew back then, I know now, is that when I had her, I actually had a covenant with her that this is my flesh and blood, she is my DNA, and I promised to always be there. I just didn't have a baby. I had a person that I still today, she's over 30, she just needs to call me, I'll be there. People go, why? Because she's mine. I'm dad. She might be married, but I'm still dad. See, that's what people don't understand is when you go into God and you get married and you have kids, it is you're not saying goodbye, you're saying hello. And you're forever saying hello. But see, what we want to do is we start of it today is I want you to start to picture, start to do a mind shift. I am in my Father's house. So who's responsible for you? He is. Who's going to look after you? He is. Because God has provided himself a lamb. He didn't ask me to bring a lamb. So understand this now. We're going to close this. Worship team, if you can come up. Now watch this. Watch this. Just think about the Father's house. We're talking about God the Father. Do you think he will give you a poverty packed room? I remember a really good friend of mine, and his wife used to work for BMW. And part of a job package is that every time a new model came out, she would get a brand new car. And he would always brag. You know, I go, hey, Ted, you want to go for a drive? And then one day he rocks up and he goes, I want to apologize. I go, why? He goes, I just got a poverty pack. I go, what do you mean poverty pack? I haven't got electric windows. I haven't got leather seats. I haven't got a V8. And he's going, wow, I work for BMW, but I got a poverty pack. Now watch this. Do you think that the Father would invite you into his house and give you a poverty pack life? He doesn't do this. He doesn't go, Luz, you know what? I'm going to really, really, really make you amazing. Victor, I'm so sorry, but she just ate the pie. There's only a little bit left. Whatever's got, you can have. You know, one of the things I mentioned it before. My mum and dad had 11 children. And we were into stews. And so when they would make a table, right? So we would eat on a long table. And what would happen? All the food got put onto the table. So in other words, the kitchen now was empty, but the table was full. Now, I have 5 other brothers that know how to eat. And I have 5 other brothers that are very competitive. And when you only have 1 chicken, right? There's only 2 bits of everything you can have, right? So in other words, there are going to be 4 people that will get the breast and the chicken legs, and the rest are just going to have the underneath section. You know, when you got the underneath section, it's not in a hole, it's made up of pieces and pieces, but we form it into something nice. But so what it was the realization. So when Dad prayed, it wasn't a prayer of blessing, it was the starting gun. You know how you watch the Olympics? On your marks, get ready. Because in about 5 minutes flat, there's not going to be any leftovers. Mum used to do this. If any of our kids were not at home, right, she would have to hide the portions. The reason being, use this mentality, is that all we have is on the table, and once it's gone, it's gone. So what we do is we gorge ourselves. So when you're eating, you're looking at your next part. You need to be careful because if my brother is not going to collect it with his fingers but with a knife, it's going to hurt. But see, it was competition. But see, in the Father's house, it keeps flowing. You know, as a church, we've been talking about the kingdom. But we need the, first of all, the first thing to understand about the kingdom is that the Father isn't stingy. The Father going, I'm going to give you a little bit, but I'm going to give you a lot. You know why? Listen to me very carefully. That's why there's so much competition in the church today. Why is there competition? Oh, look, that guy's got a big church. Well, that means I can't have a big church. Or that person's driving that. I can't drive that. See, the competition comes when there's only one thing. Do you know what raises the price of any car? You can have a car when it first comes out. It might be worth $50,000 and there's 200 of them. But as the years go by, cars diminish. And as one car diminishes, the prices go up again. So when you get to there's only one car left, from $50,000, now you're paying like $10 million because of scarcity. But see, there's no scarcity in the kingdom of God. Church, we need a shift from I am an orphan, I have come. Now, which is, I have to do this. See, in the house, I don't get served. I can go into the fridge anytime I want. Some of you, me included, we're always thinking, I'm in this restaurant, I'm waiting to be served, I'm waiting to be served. God says, look, why don't you just go in the kitchen and get what you want? Church, you good? Everything you need is in the house. Everything we need is in the house. Everything we need for our church is sitting right here. Everything we need. What we got to get out of the mentality is we are in the Father's house. I am rightfully here, and we're going to do this next time we come back. We're going to start living by inheritance, not by effort. Orphans go, what are you going to give me? Sons go, I'm receiving what the Father has. I'm receiving what the Father has. I'm receiving what the Father has. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, this is your house. I right now, just for the next 2 minutes or so, I want you to step out of what you feel you are, what others have labeled you are. And I go, I'm a son. The same spirit that was in Jesus is also in me. So that means that the way the Father looks upon the Son, Jesus, is the same way that it looks upon me. Father, right now, even for Faith Life Church, for us as families, Father, I pray that we would take the next awesome step and hop out of being servants into being sons. Sons and daughters of the living God. This is going to, for some of us, some of you are going to jump into it. Some of you might take a little while, but I want you to get there. We are children. We are not orphans. We are called by the name of God. We are sanctified by the name of God. We are redeemed by the name of God. We have everything that the Father says we have. I am who He says I am. I will be what He says I will be. I can do what He says I can do. I am no longer a stranger, but I am a son. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God has a room for me. I'm not going to have to share a room. I'm not going to have to sleep on the floor. I'm not going to have to crank out in the garage, but I am going to go live in the Father's house. I'm going to enjoy the Father's house. I am going to redeem what's in the Father's house. I am no longer going to think like a servant. I'm going to think like a son. I am going to dare to believe that everything that has been prophesied over my life, everything that I have read in the Word, everything I have felt during worship is going to be for me. I am not the tail, I am the head. I am not going to finish last, I'm going to finish first. What I have lost, God, my dad is a dad of restoration. Father, I no longer look at you as my boss. I no longer look at you as someone who is out just to be served. But Father, I look at you now that you're my Father. Right now, why don't you just talk to Dad? Right where you are right now. God, Father, reveal yourself to me as Abba Father. Reveal yourself as my strength and as my house, as my provision. Father, I pray as we enter the springtime. Father, the winter is over. Father, the foundations are done as we enter the building stage of Faith Life Church and Faith Life people. That, Father, we are not going to build upon our own efforts. We're not going to build upon whatever we think we have. But, Father, we're going to build with kingdom material. Father, we're going to build with kingdom action. We're going to build with kingdom ideas. We're going to ask God. Some of you business people here today, you need to say, God, Father, give me a download of a new idea. Give me a download to that problem. Give me a download. Because you are the God of all answers. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we make a declaration. We are the sons of God now. We live by inheritance now. Father, in Jesus' name. Why don't you stand with me for a moment? But just lift up your hands. Father, Abba Father, Papa God. Father, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we come now. God, not on our own works, not on our own effort, but we stand upon the price that was paid. That because of the blood of Jesus, you have made us acceptable unto God. So, Father, I just pray. God, I just rebuke the spirit of an orphan. Father, I just rebuke that lack, that it's not going to be enough. I am not good enough. I am not acceptable. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it and I command it to go in Jesus' name. You have no more right in our hearts, in our minds. Father, in the name of Jesus. Everybody, just look at me for a moment. Just look at me. This week, I need you to find a quiet place and I want you to dream in the Father's house, not in your house. You know, sometimes when you get stuck in a little room, you see the four walls and you see all that. So you dream upon your bank account. You dream upon your, well, this is my gifting. I want you to start to dream that you're in the Father's house. I remember talking to Jermaine about this. People have visions of the throne room. Sons have a vision of the family room. See, when an unbeliever dreams about the throne room, he goes, wow, that's great. Kids walk into the throne room and they go, that's Papa's chair. That's cool, huh? Hey, those angels are bowing down to Papa. Hey, how cool is that? Hey, I'll join with them. Wow, wow, wow. See, the difference is this. Children walk into the throne room and it's the family room. Why? Because that's where Papa sits. And you're seated with Papa. So I need this. I really feel this in the Holy Spirit. Look at your marriage. What does it look like in the Papa's house? Your job, what does it look like? What does it look like? Stop dreaming outside of the house. You need to dream in the house. You need to dream in the house. Dream in the house. Dream in the house. Wow. Look at the time. It's lunchtime. And everybody said, come, lift up your hands. Let me bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for the life that's in the house. I thank you for the people in the house. Thank you for the joy that's in the house. I bless you this week with the Father's blessing. You will be blessed going in and going out. You will be blessed in all of your work. You will be blessed with your families, with your marriages, with your job, with your properties. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless you with the Father's blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus. Be blessed and multiply in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand.